is a complete unit only as long as it is attached to the complete body. When the hand is severed from the body, it may appear like a hand, but it actually has none of the potencies of a hand. Similarly, living beings are parts and parcels of the supreme whole, and if they are served, if they are severed from the complete whole, the illusory representation of completeness cannot fully satisfy them. The completeness of human life can only be realized when one engages in the service of the complete whole. All services in this world, whether social, political, communal, international, or even interplanetary, will remain incomplete until they are dovetailed with the complete whole. When everything is dovetailed with the complete whole, the attached parts and parcels also become complete in themselves. In my services to Srila Prabhupada, I have the opportunity to travel to many places in the world and speak to audiences about Krishna consciousness. And in place after place, one question seems to perpetually arise. People ask, I see that you Hare Krishna people do a lot of chanting and dancing, and you spend a lot of time reading your scriptures, hearing in that way. But why don't you do something practical to help people? That's fine that you do that, but there's so much need in the world today. Why don't you do something practical? Why don't you open a school? Why don't you open a hospital? Why don't you feed people? What good will simply chanting and reading your scriptures all day long do for the world today? This verse we just read from the Sri Isha Upanishad is an answer that I often give to persons when they ask this type of a question. Because it talks about the real need that is being addressed by the devotees when they chant and dance and they hear from the scriptures. Factually speaking, most of the problems that we experience either as individuals or as societies, nations, or even the entire world, most of the problems we experience can be simply analyzed as being, to one degree or another, an incompleteness in our beings. Whether we lack money, we lack mental clarity, we lack social justice, we lack peace in the world, all of these things are various forms of incompleteness that exist because, as we read in the paragraphs in Srila Prabhupada's purport, we have severed our hand, we have severed ourselves from the very source of completeness, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is why the devotees hear and chant, study the scriptures, because they are making an attempt to solve the real problems in life. Not just, as Prabhupada said, blowing on the boil. Prabhupada had these wonderful examples I don't know how many people have had boils in their life or experienced what blowing on them does, but it gives a temporary relief when you blow on the boil, because it's burning hot, the skin is like a volcano, it's erupting. When you blow on it, you think, oh, I'm solving the problem. But no, your solution is incomplete. So Prabhupada had us directed. He convinced us by his personal example He convinced us by his strong reference to Shastra that we remain incomplete in our lives as long as we do not connect with the personality of Godhead. But that connection is not, it's not an impersonal or an abstract type of connection. It's a personal connection. It's a personal connection. And definitions, other definitions that we find that supplement this definition from the Ishupanishad, the complete whole, other definitions help us make it more personal or realize it more personally than we might just from reading that verse. There's a definition, for instance, of Bhagavan. This word Bhagavan means full or complete in opulence. But what is that opulence? That opulence is very personal in nature. Wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, renunciation. These are attributes of a person. These are attributes of a person. They're attributes of the complete whole. If we are feeling some incompleteness in our life and we seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether that incompleteness is due to a lack of knowledge, the physical strength, the courage to face some particular circumstance we're involved with in life, poor bank balance, we can turn to the source of all these opulences, Bhagavan, to solve our problems in life. There's no problem that the Supreme Lord doesn't have the resources to deal with. And if we realize just this one fact, this is not just about religion and being religious in life. It's about the hard-core realities of living in this world that make us feel, that make us experience an incompleteness, a voidness in our heart, a lack of the ability to go forward and face the difficulties that are constantly raining upon us in this world. The personality of Godhead has the ability to take care of us fully. That's why we often think of, and we find in religions around the world quite often, God is seen as the Father. Because what is a father's job? What is a father's role in your life? He takes care of you. He maintains you. In the Vedic conception, we have the idea of the bull and the cow. The cow is the mother. The bull is the father because he tills the ground. He turns. He helps you get your food. So the Supreme Father, Krishna, Bhagavan, can help us with this incompleteness in life. And that Supreme Lord comes into this world in the form of incarnations time and time again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam sajami aham. He comes time after time after time. When people are suffering because of this incompleteness in their lives, he comes to complete their lives. He comes to complete our lives in different kind of incarnations. And Lord Sri Ram is one such incarnation. Simply by hearing the pastimes of Ram. And let me explain this hearing a bit. What is this hearing? Hearing is yoga. What does yoga mean? Can anybody say what yoga means? Basic definition? Reconnect, huh? It means connecting. Our method in bhakti yoga of connecting with God is hearing, just hearing about him. That enables us to touch the source of completeness and become complete ourselves. That's why you find the devotees hearing and chanting, dancing, studying the Shastra. Because they're experiencing a connection with the complete whole, and their lives are becoming satisfied in various ways. So we hear about the Lord. We hear about the personality of Godhead. We hear about Lord Ramachandra. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained in the ninth canto where the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described that this history of Ramachandra and his activities in this world is very well known. It's been repeated time and time again throughout the millennia. And generally speaking, most devotees are familiar with the story of Ram. I'd venture to say that everyone here in the room here this evening has some basic familiarity with Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Am I correct? Does anybody have no idea about who Lord Ramachandra is? No, it's because, as it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, these pastimes have been described again and again and again. And as we hear them, we become complete. So at the risk of being repetitious, I would like to describe some of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes here this evening so that we can look at some of the lessons to be learned from these pastimes about how simply by hearing about him gives us some hope, gives us the hope of completeness in our being, that we can continue and ultimately get out of this material world once and for all. Once there was a sage named Valmiki, and he was deep in meditation in his ashram. And he was doing what most rishis do. His thoughts were filled about the benefits of mankind. Genuine rishis aren't concerned about themselves. They are in touch with this completeness that is the personality of Godhead. But their concern is for others. And so Valmiki Muni was sitting in his ashram and he was meditating, how can we serve the best interests of mankind? He received a visitor, Narada Muni, and he could see him deep in meditation. And he asked him, my dear sage, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking? And Valmiki replied that he was wondering if there was one person, one single individual that had as many good qualities that one can think of. Is there a person who has integrity, bravery, righteousness, gratitude, truthfulness, dedication to one's principles, character without blemish, concern for all living beings, learning, skill, beauty, a pleasing appearance, courage, radiance, the ability to keep anger under control, perfect control, a lack of jealousy at all times, undaunted heroism, which can frighten even the celestials. Valmiki himself even thought, I know I'm asking too much. There's no person who could be so complete in their good qualities. But Narada told him, no, don't think like that because there is such a person. And who was that person? Lord Ram. Jai Shri Ram! Lord Ramachandra was that person who has all these good qualities, who has the completeness of good character that's described in the qualities that I just read to you. So when we hear the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and we talk about the completeness of his being, we're talking about these type of qualities. These are the things that are the shelter for all of us. Who doesn't want to meet a man with full integrity? Someone who will not exploitate us for their own good, but be only concerned about our own welfare. Someone who has the courage to give us the courage to face all the difficulties that we encounter in daily life. When we take shelter and hear about Lord Ramachandra, we have the opportunity to connect with the source of all these good qualities, to get protection, and also to perfect our own being so we can further give that protection to others. That is the value of hearing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, who is called in Sanskrit Maryada Purushottama. Maryada Purushottama. He appeared as a human being, the best of human beings, to teach us how to be better human beings ourselves, to teach us how to relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are many different instances from the life of Lord Ramachandra, and this is a work that spans 24,000 verses, and obviously we can't cover them in the next 14 minutes. But there are some specific instances which I want to mention here this evening, which I think give us a glimpse into the life of Lord Ramachandra and how we can complete our lives by following and hearing about him. First is the winning of the hand of Sita. It's a custom among Kshatriyas that a king who has a daughter will set a test for the suitors of his daughter. Not just that he gives his daughter to anyone and everyone that comes along, or for his own benefit in some way, but he puts a test to test the strength, the determination, the valor, the courage, the intelligence, the knowledge of such a suitor. And Sita's father, Maharaj Janak, had designed such a test for the suitors of Sita, his beloved daughter. There was a bow that belonged to Lord Shiva that was passed down in his family. And this was a massive, huge bow. If you read different descriptions of this in the Ramayana, you find some places they said it took 5,000 men just to move it. Or sometimes it says 300 men just to move it. But even if it was only 300, that was a pretty big bow, pretty heavy bow. It was used by Lord Shiva to protect when he fought on behalf of the demigods, and no one used it after that, but it was passed down generation after generation in Maharaj Janak's family. And so Janak Maharaj made the test: whoever can lift and string this bow, they'll be able to take the hand of Sita. Many princes and kings came and tried. Some of them couldn't even look at the bow. They were so formidable. Others, when they tried to lift it, simply humiliated themselves by their attempt. They came up pounding their arms, showing their strength, but they couldn't lift it 1 millimeter from the casket that it was in. And so all these kings, they became so frustrated and humiliated by the attempts to lift this bow that they all decided they were going to fight Maharaj Janak. So that for a year, they surrounded his kingdom and they were fighting him before Janak Maharaj got the demigods to help him chase away the threat. So this was the challenge that he had. Lord Ramachandra was traveling with his guru, Vishwamitra Muni. And after helping Vishwamitra Muni chase away some devious, envious, evil people from destroying his sacrifice, Vishwamitra Muni took Ram to Mathila, the kingdom of Janak, so they could see this bow. And so Maharaj Janak had the bow brought before Ram and Vishwamitra Muni. And Vishwamitra Muni told Ram, go have a look. So Ram very reverently approached this bow. And he opened the container, the casket that it was in, and he stared very respectfully for some time at this bow. And then he did something which was different than all the other kings and princes who came and to try to lift this bow. He did something that sets him apart from all of them, and he did something that's very exemplary for us. He turned to Vishwamitra Muni and said to him, my dear Guru, may I touch this bow? May I lift it and string this bow? And Vishwamitra Muni, his guru, told him, yes, you have my blessings to do this. So Sita was watching from the balcony. There were many people in the court. And Ramachandra approached the bow. He offered his respects. And then he put his hand on the bow. And you can imagine the anticipation was building. It was building, building, building. So Ram lifted the bow all of a sudden, like that, over his head, high over his head. And there were gasps from the crowd. Ha! Because no one had been able to move it. But he very dramatically lifted it up. And then he put one end on the ground and he started pulling the bow. And the tension of the bow could be visibly seen. And he was pulling it to string it. You know how to string a bow. Does everyone know how to string a bow? Well, you put the string on one end while it's loose, and then, but you have to pull down the other end and fix the rope on the other end so it creates some tension on the bow. So he was pulling it, and that bow was crying. And he bent it almost to the full circle, and then finally, boom! The bow broke in two. It was such a loud clap of thunder from that bow breaking that everyone in the assembly except Vishwamitra Muni, Janak Maharaj, and Ram and Lakshman fell unconscious when hearing the sound. How was Ram able to do this when others couldn't do it? He was able to do it because he took permission of his guru. This is the lesson for all of us to learn. Nothing, we can accomplish nothing in life without accepting the blessings of our guru and other superiors. This is how we can have such power in our own lives. It's how we can also be complete. As if we have this mentality of understanding that nothing is possible for us to do in life without the blessings of our guru. And hearing how Lord Ram broke this bow is very entertaining. He has a flair for drama. When he broke the bow, as he was pulling it back, Sita's heart was blossoming with anticipation. Will he do it? Will he do it? Will he do it? Yes, he did it. There's nothing dry or lifeless or stale about the Lord's activities and our relishing them. We should be convinced when we hear these activities, we can complete our lives as I've been describing. Respectful. Lord Ramachandra was respectful of this bow and the challenge it represented. He wasn't boastful. When we face difficulties in life, we should respect the material energy and the difficulty it can put us in. It's not a joke. But we needn't be afraid or shrink from the challenge out of that respect, but rather take shelter of a greater power, the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another key element of the Ramayana involves the promise of Dasarath. Indeed, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes, when it begins to describe the Ramayana in brief, it says there that to keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the kingdom and went to the forest. What a different society and world we live in today. To keep the promise of his father intact, he gave up so much. He gave up the kingdom. The promise of his father was even questioned by Lakshman. Why do we have to follow this old man who's henpecked by his wife and gave this benediction and is ruining everything for everybody? Why do we have to do that? But Lord Ramachandra said, no. Dharma is important. Dharma is important. And there are rules about Dharma that can't be violated, even if they put us in personal difficulty. I was reading an editorial in the New York Times last week, and it was about the type of education that's going on in the United States today, where young children are being taught that there are no objective standards of morality. It's all relative, or basically someone's opinion. It's someone's opinion that it's bad to take another's life, not that it's a moral principle that stands and is protected as the objective reality of life. So we live in a society today, as I said, much different than the society of we find in the Ramayana, because there one's promise was so important that there was no question of it not being kept. No relative, cultural relativism would allow Ram to somehow or another disobey the order of his father, or for his father to renege on the promises he made to his wife, no matter what the consequences would be. When the Lord comes, yada yada hi dharma sha, he establishes dharma, eternal principles by which human society is guided. When we take advantage of these things, we can become complete in our being. When we neglect these things, as Prabhupada said in the purport we read there, whether it's national, interplanetary, whatever it is, we can never find peace nor completeness in our being. So Lord Ramachandra taught us this fidelity in his pastimes. Now, he also taught us another thing by this pastime, and that is the importance of family and community. Family and community are extremely important, and we have to be prepared to sacrifice for them. if we're not prepared to sacrifice for them, and that becomes the norm, then we find ourselves with no community, no family, and no supporting network to meet all the challenges of life and to bolster our spiritual understanding by discussing these topics together. Just two other brief instances. Acceptance. It takes someone full in themselves to accept others. When we have lackings in ourselves, we tend to see others with those lackings and we tend to reject them rather than accept them out of the fullness of our heart. But Lord Ramachandra wasn't like that. Whatever contribution anyone could make to his cause, he was happy to embrace them and accept that contribution. We see this when he was building the bridge to Lanka. As you know, the ocean originally was refusing to cooperate with Ram, but then when he finally decided he'll cooperate after the Lord displayed his anger, then they built the bridge by throwing big, huge mountaintops and boulders into the water and building a bridge. Some say you can see that bridge in satellite photography today from, what was the point in India? What was it? Not Kanyakumari. Dhanushkoti. Well, they... Rameshwaram. Yes, Rameshwaram. There, to Sri Lanka. Now, in the course of that building that bridge and throwing these big boulders, and one of the major contributors was Hanuman, the great devotee of the Lord. And as he was throwing the boulders in, some small, insignificant spider was also trying to kick grains of sand into the water. "Get out of my way, spider! Can't you see I have important work to do? What is your contribution of these little grains of sand?" But Lord Ramachandra didn't think like that. He said, no, his contribution is equal to yours because he's acting according to his capability. We're all individuals, we're people. We have different capabilities. But 100% of our capabilities are meant to be connected with the complete whole so that we experience the completeness of our own contributions. So the spider can contribute a little bit. Somebody else may contribute more. But as long as we're working for the common goal of serving the Lord, then Lord Ramachandra accepted that contribution. Prabhupada makes a humorous comment in one of the purports in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam when he's describing the army that Lord Ramachandra gathered. That army is us. And he describes us there as being like the monkey army that Lord Ramachandra was able to gather. Ravana had first-class technology, first-class warfare, weapons, trained soldiers. Ramachandra had monkeys. Srila Prabhupada said he was given monkeys. But because of being connected to the complete desire of Srila Prabhupada, those monkeys did amazing things. Amazing things. When you think about what is being accomplished by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, it's just overwhelming to me to think about the contributions of my God brothers and God sisters who have dedicated their lives in this way. And that's because they were so effective because they were connected with the complete whole by their surrender and the acceptance of Supreme Lord. One final thing, again on this theme of forgiveness and acceptance, and that's the famous statement that Lord Ramachandra makes about Bibhishan's surrender. Vibhishan was the enemy. He was the brother of Ravana. He sat in Ravana's council when they were discussing their plans for warfare. Now, of course, his voice was always, return Sita, and Ram will forgive you. Don't have your entire family destroyed by going forward like this. That was his counsel. It wasn't heard, but yet he was the enemy. He was the enemy. Finally, when Ravana had had enough of his brother speaking like this, Vibhishan was his brother, he kicked him out of the court. And Vibhishan went to Ram to surrender. He went with a few of his friends, and the four Rakshasas appeared above Ram's camp, hovering in the air. And immediately all the monkey soldiers were ready to fight the enemy. But he told them, please don't fight, I've come to surrender to Ram. And Ram received counsel from Sugriv, from other monkey leaders, not to trust the enemy. Even if he does want to surrender to you, he's Ravana's brother. He left him. He could leave us too. So that he was urged, Ram was urged, don't accept the surrender of this person who's the enemy. But then Ram spoke those famous words that, let it be known that from this day it's known that anyone who once sincerely surrenders to me, I will give him protection forever. You shouldn't fear that, and you should have faith in those words. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the person who understands our hearts. And that is a person who is coming here in incarnation after incarnation, avatar after avatar, offering us the opportunity to perfect your life by hearing about me. Solve all your problems by hearing about me. Take advantage of my presence because I've come here only for you. I have no business otherwise in this world. I've come here only for you, to benefit you. That is the Supreme Person, the complete whole that's described in the Upanishads, that's described in the conversation between Valmiki and Narada. And that's available to each and every one of us through this process of bhakti yoga by which we hear about the Supreme Lord and go to the root of all the problems that we experience in this world. It eradicates it at the root. Now take some time, be patient. You're not going to come here in one day, hear a little bit, and well, actually, you will. All it takes, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shiddhi Koi. Only one moment. Association, hearing about the Supreme Lord, all perfection can be yours. And that perfection means associating ourselves, putting the hand back on the body that has been severed. But still, better to come more and more often, practice, so it becomes solidified. That's the opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has given us in this Krishna consciousness movement. And so on days like today, we emphasize these things and try to rededicate ourselves to the service of the Lord, hearing about Him and having faith that that hearing will solve not only my problems, but it'll help me solve the problems of everyone that I meet every day in my walk through life. So these are some thoughts on Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, which was officially yesterday, but we're celebrating today. I don't know if they're still doing the Abhishek outside, but if you hadn't had a chance to go and offer that service to the Lord, please take advantage of that. Or you can take prasadam, which is also another way to serve the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.